Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Awesome.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, for checking out the series. You know what to do. If you like what you see, what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I'll give you new interviews just like this one every single week. You can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. Those always help out so much. Of course, we've had some great guests on the series lately, including Talib Kweli, Peaches, Hamilton Lighthouser from The Walkmen, Damon Albarn from Blur and the Gorillaz. We talked with Adrian Belew from David Bowie and King Crimson's band, Daniel Ash from Love and Rockets, director Ash Avildsen and actress Emily Bett Rickards. They're behind the new film Queen of the Ring. Denise Richards was here, of course, from James Bond, and she's got her new reality series, Denise Richards and the Wild Things. We also talked about her desire for a sequel to Drop Dead Gorgeous. That's just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with actor-musician Ben Barnes, the rare actor-to-musician crossover that actually makes sense. From the Chronicles of Narnia to Westworld and The Punisher, he spent years captivating audiences on screen, but music's always been a part of the story. With his debut album, he's stepping fully into the spotlight as a singer-songwriter, blending vintage soul, heartfelt storytelling, and a voice that feels like it was made for this. In fact, we look back to even when he played wannabe rock star in the movie Killing Bono to now actually becoming one. It's taken a long road to this debut album. Again, it's called Where the Light Gets In. We got to talk about his first full-blown tour, the soul and storytelling behind the music, and whether he still Googles his own lyrics to make sure he didn't actually steal them, which is something that I think we all do if we're writing music. Oh, and he drops a Dickens reference, because of course he does. Plus, we reflect on him playing the Punisher's villain, and in fact, his villainous image he's carried over the past decade, stepping into the world of Stephen King's The Institute in an upcoming series, and how Almost Famous may or may not get touring life, writes all that and more as we talk about Where the Light Gets In. It's Kyle Meredith with Ben Barnes.
Hello.
Yeah, well, thank you for being here, especially not in the thick of touring cycle.
Oh, I know. It's quite a thing to take on the first time around, I think. I think I would feel very differently about it. If we were to go out again, I think I would feel very differently about it.
I mean, was this your very first big tour like this? Because it's a debut album.
Yeah, I had done a tour with the EP in which we teased a couple of songs that I was thinking about putting on the album. I'd done a tour in Europe, 6 or 7 dates, I think. It was like a three week tour, and I'd done some dates in LA and New York by them, you know, sort of by themselves, but never something like this. Never the kind of thing that you think about when you think about a tour and you think about like watching Almost Famous when it came out. And when you think about a tour bus and you think about life on the road and sleeping on a bus and being with the same people and having that family atmosphere and really pursuing this adventure together with, you know, with your sort of like fellow band of pirates, you know, like you just never have I approached it like that before. And it was both more grueling and testing in certain ways than I thought, but also so much more thrilling and fulfilling and rewarding than I had imagined as well. So I understand the lure.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned Almost Famous there, because even as a movie, it's probably the truest depiction, as close as you can get in that fictionalized version, you know, to what that road is like. But it doesn't show a lot of those downtime and like there's that moment at the end after, of course, they've almost gone through a plane crash. But that moment when they're walking through the airport at the end and you just see their faces and everybody looks like death. Like I've toured before. I spent 8 years in a touring band and did it. And I know that feeling right there. Like the first time you come home and you try to do the most mundane chore of like going to the grocery and suddenly it feels like you're in a different world.
Universe. Yeah. Even the last show we played at the Wilton just felt like kind of a dream. But you know, the most glorious thing, like I got this card from the band last night, and just everyone kind of putting down on paper that even without time and pause for reflection, they all just felt like it was some kind of life highlight, which they feel like has changed who they are. And that to me is, I mean, if there has ever been a measure of success, you don't need a billion streams. You don't need to sell out, you know, you don't need to sell out the Hollywood Bowl in terms of, for me, as a measure of success of what I'm doing with this, you know, the audiences from San Diego to Oslo, you know, singing the words back at you, holding up little cutout hearts, you know, that they've, you know, organized between themselves. Like, all of those things to me are the measures of success of making something from nothing that has connected with someone in some way, whatever way, something nothing to do with you actually. That to me is the measure of why do it. And also, like I just said, from like personal experience of actually living out these dreams and having these adventures and experiences, is just, I can never now be someone who hasn't done that. And that feels so, that in itself is wonderful, but it also felt wonderful along the way.
What a great way to think about that. And you, I'm like, so to back way up, like you obviously have lots of music in your past, like maybe starting as a musician before the acting took off and everything. You've also been a musician in a movie with Jackie and Ryan, but like to actually do it, to experience, to do what you're saying right there, to have now actually been the checked off, like, and we're going back even to what you were talking about with Almost Famous, like how close is it to what you imagined way back in the day? Could you have seen yourself doing it like this?
You have to go back even further, actually, because I did a movie about 16, 17 years ago, something called Killing Bono, where I played like a musician who was, you know, a sort of desperate musician who just was so desperate to be famous and to be a success in that way. So I had the, like, I had the lesson, I had the warning sign straight away in that way. And that actually on that movie is where I met my friend Hammy, who is my drummer and my music manager. And so to be, you know, the reward is taking someone that has cared about you for that long and believed in you for that long to be taking them to these like amazing places and spaces and sharing something is really cool. I think the shows actually, having done the Europe tour a couple of years ago, the shows felt, I suppose, how I imagined they would. I couldn't believe how nervous I was to mount it and how little I felt like I knew even after doing that at the beginning of this tour. And then by the end of the tour, the confidence with which I was able to walk onto, stage at sold out Shepherd's Bush Empire or the World Turn or wherever else, and feel like some sense of worth and value and belonging. Like, not that anyone deserves to be anywhere more than anybody else, but the idea that I wasn't some kind of outlier or circus, freak show that people were kind of coming to point at the guy who wears the cloak, with the
And we'll be right back right after this.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Ben Barnes.
Because you still have to be an entertainer on that stage to some degree. I mean, you want to play these songs that, that mean something, but you have to learn how to be an entertainer.
Yes. Well, I think that part of it comes quite naturally. I think that part is quite a crossover with what I had done before. But also finding my way to do that in a way which I can feel good about authentically being very much myself, which I think is the thing that a lot of people have taken away from the shows. Is that it does feel like a family atmosphere, which I've curated on purpose by having a band full of solo artists who all perform before the show. So it feels like they know, they have a connection to the people walking onto the stage even before the show started. And a lot of these things I've done on purpose because they made sense with what I have written music about, which are the things that are important to me, about encouraging people to think about how they spend their precious minutes on the planet, about feeling hopeful about things, even if they seem desperate, about finding a way to like love yourself through certain moments and to be romantic, even if it doesn't feel like it makes sense. Like, I think all of these things are things that are like important to me, and they're things that define me as like a friend to people, as a son, as a brother, as a partner. Like, those are things that I wear very front and center in my life. So of course they're the things I end up writing songs about hope, about things, So, and then the music that I love, the sort of like the old soul stuff that I love, the sort of 70s music kind of that, inspires a kind of like a soulfulness in the way that we go about doing things. And so.
Now, that soul thing too, that was the most, I wouldn't say it was the most surprising, but before I'd heard anything, and you hear it right from the beginning, like that soul is there. Like, I didn't see it coming. Because obviously, we keep images of characters, fictional or not, we keep images of characters. And you have you know, you've played the bad side of things for a while, and to come out and just to be so in the opposite, like, I guess what I'm saying is to break against image or
It's very di I
expectations.
think it's difficult for anyone to separate all the characters they've played from who they are for real, you know. And we're all just as guilty of having these sort of parasocial relationships with people that we don't know as each other. And so I think people do come in with some kind of expectation, but I can't separate who I am from everything that I have been kind of infused with and everything that I've felt passionate about. So if I write music, of course I have Stevie Wonder and Elton John and Donny Hathaway and Aretha Franklin and Queen and, you know, all of these things flowing through my heart and brain as I try to make something. But also all of my experiences lead to what I write songs about. And then my kind of like English literature brain insists that I consider Charles Dickens and W. Jordan and Dylan Thomas and all these poets and the, you know, all these references and all these things which I've also loved. So it comes out of the tumble dryer sounding like something else.
I just finished four Dickens books, by the way, so I like the reference there. So I
Why?
appreciate the ref because I never had.
Oh, what was your favorite?
I just finished Hard Times,
Oh,
and I
yeah.
think, like, Great Expectations, because I was really tied to that movie in the 90s too. So of course I love them, but Hard Times I think is my favorite so far.
Yeah, well, I sort of want to be honest about sharing who I am with people, and part of that is about being like that kind of, like certainly the me of my 20s and 30s was about feeling quite hopelessly romantic and about loving words and learning about different types of love, even if they're not the healthiest for you. And so leading with that Dickens quote, again, it's not very like it's not necessarily very kind of Motown of me to lead with Dickens, but like if I can make those two things sandwiched together in a way that makes sense. I mean, if Prince can kind of quote wedding vows at the beginning of a song, and I guess that's a little more gospel, but like if he can do that and still be as rock and roll as he was, then I can do this.
Yeah, and there, I mean, talk about some great lines. Even this, what sounds simple, like I know stumbling on a line like "It was never mine, so never mind." Like I don't know what that moment of realization was for you on that one, because like I remember those being gold when you're like, "Oh, that's it's so works." And even, you know, I won't go general into the good, like those quotes, like being able, as you're saying, to work that in. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it was never mind, so never mind. I know exactly where I was when I thought about that. That was one of the few songs that I was sort of half written for a long time. And I was on a walk. I went back to England to surprise my dad for his birthday, and my mom had took him to this national park to walk, and I was like walking for like an hour to try and find them because I wanted to really surprise him. And that hit me as I was walking. It kind of it I was like, and it just I don't know, just never mind, never mind. Wait, I just remember when that kind of came to me. I mean, I will not go gentle into that. Good night is Dylan Thomas. We got in touch with his estate to like borrow those. But there are other phrases that sort of actually my proudest thing about songwriting is when I come up with like a little hook line for a chorus, which sounds like some old cliche that people must say all the time, mustn't they? And then I Google it for an hour, 2 hours, and I'm like, no, this, I just thought of this.
Yeah, how long does that drive you nuts? Because I won't remember it right now. I've got a line that I've been working on in my head for 25 years that I keep waiting to, because I'm sure, as you said, that it's not mine, that
Never mind.
it's like this has got to be, and but at this point, aren't all the lyrics online of like every song that's existed? Like, why haven't I found this one yet?
I every time, every night when I'm singing this, I wrote this song called Three New Hearts, and every time I get to the line, I couldn't love you, I couldn't love you, I couldn't love you into loving me. And every time I sing, I couldn't love you into loving me, I almost every night I want to get off and Google it and make sure that I didn't, you know, I didn't hear it somewhere. But every time I do it, I think, oh, that's good. You know, it's very, you get those little endorphin rushes of when you're creating, and then when you're sharing it, that it, you know, I love that part of it.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle and Meredith with Ben Barnes.
Is the album a narrative? Like I read about the record being like stages of a relationship. Like when you're putting it together, do you think of it front to back?
I don't think of it front to back necessarily. It's a little bit messy, like all relationships are, I think. But it certainly pieces together at least my perspective of certain elements of things. And on the EP, I think I just put the songs together that made the most sense, that were the sort of the songs that I thought would work the best together. On the album, I had more than I needed. And then when we did the cull and cut down to the songs we would put on the album, I think there was about 8. But then I also, when I was listening to it, I was thinking, well, we have these moments of turbulence and these moments of encouraging people to love you in different ways and trying to understand where people the other person might be coming from, and reminding them that they deserve to be loved, and the heartbreak, and we have the kind of nostalgia, but I'm missing that purity of love song, of looking forwards. So I was like, I set about to try and write one of those. And then I was like, we're missing a sort of more exciting, like sexy song of that time after you've met someone, but like before you know exactly what it's going to be, where you're kind of, you know, you're being kind of driven by lust and driven by mystery and driven by all those things. And I was like, so this was also the first time when I had the album 3/4 done, where I was like, I'm conscious that I want this to be about all the different aspects of those kind of precious relationships, and I don't want to leave those ones out. But then when the funny thing is, I set about to write this pure love song about like what I was hoping to feel in the future, and it was taken from all these different scraps of lyrics here and there. And then I finished it after I watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off, because I quote like 3 words from that film in it, and it made so much sense to me. And then you go out and you sing it on the road, and you might meet someone at a kind of before the show or after the show, and they're like, "Oh, I love that song. It reminds me of my grandma," or whatever it is, and you think, "Wow, you really don't know what a song is going to be about to someone else." But for me, I wanted it to feel complete in terms of I didn't want to leave out any aspects of a relationship, because, you know, I titled the album in this very like hopeful way about like how you can feel about yourself more positively after going through hard, you know, difficult experiences and reframing them. But I was like, I want it to be about all the things I've felt in the course of the relationships in my life. So not just some of them. Because this is my first album, and I want it to make sense.
You know, and for me, like all my most favorite artists, they really think about albums in that way. I know I've got Bowie over my shoulder, and, you know, of course, on and on and on. But if, you know, it's hard not to think about this as sort of from a film, from an actor mind as well, that you would approach an album like this. And maybe that's unfair, but it's still there, you know.
I think it's actually probably less from my actor mind, because I don't feel like there's any kind of like role play in it. But it is from the perspective of someone who is quite sort of deliberate and careful and overthinks in a very not sexy, not very rock and roll kind of a way. But that's part of who I am too. So to want to check the boxes and to want to feel like things are complete and to want to like rid yourself of any anxious feeling by feeling like you did the thing and left nothing on the table that you could have like filed away somewhere neatly, like that's part of who I am too. So it would be dishonest of me to sing songs about like you are enough as you are and I want who you already are and all these things, like if I didn't feel that way about myself too. So to try and take ownership of the fact that I'm like maybe there are moments where I feel that you're singing your songs like in Paris and there are people screaming and whatever, maybe that makes you feel a bit more rock and roll than you are. But actually, I'm the guy who's kind of looking at the album and going, I don't actually have a song that is actually about something that's looking forward perspective as opposed to reflective and nostalgic. And you know, that's also part of my like, that's part of my kind of stream of consciousness. And so I have to be authentic to that too.
So now that you've done the tour, the album's out, Do you have to put it all back on the shelf to go back into the other world? I mean, is it the trade-off at this point?
In terms of acting world?
Acting,
you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you always have to put everything back on the shelf when you go into any new acting role, because you need, I certainly need a clean slate to be able to think about. And I think to think about what a new role is and what, and honestly, what that new lifestyle and adventure is like. You take on a role like the Punisher and you're living in New York and you're going to the gym every day twice and you're chatting to Marines about how they walk when they hold a gun and you're in an accent all day, and that's your life while you're doing that. And then, you know, and then you go to Budapest and you know you're in some kind of fantasy realm with you know, a group of 20, 25 year olds, and like that's your new life. And I think you need to make that, you know, there are certain sacrifices to be made, and you need to make a lot of space for that. So I think probably musicians, I don't have the experience, but my thinking is you probably have to put the current piece of work on the shelf in order to like feel like you can write the next thing. But I know there are lots of people who work in much more messy ways than that and much more brilliant ways than that. But I'm certainly someone who has always needed to kind of clear the slate before I can take on the next challenge.
Have you done the Stephen King one yet? What was that, the Institute?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we finished filming the first season of that, and I'm doing some ADR dubbing in a couple of days on it. So I'll see some scenes, I think.
I mean, talk about a world as you're talking about worlds.
Always been a big Stephen King fan, yeah. And especially when you can read the book that it's based on and read about the man that you're going to portray and then see the differences that you're being asked to shift in a TV version and trying to find a way into being that person. And, you know, often use music to do that as well. Like I make a little playlist of songs which make me feel like I felt when I was reading about the character when I was reading the book or the script. And yeah, I'm excited for that one to come out. I've played a lot, like you said, I've played a lot of villains in a row, so to play a man with a decent moral compass is a nice shift. And yeah, I hope people can find their way to that show. I'm excited about it.
Can I ask what you might have listened to get into this one?
Yes, I was listening to, I remember also one specific song sometimes. There was a song to me that sounded like the character. Was it? Oh yes, it was this Nicholas Britell song, Agape, which was from a movie, the brilliant movie If Beale Street Could Talk.
Yeah, right.
But it was this tune which had like, it has like a groove to it, but it had these like quite chaotic like flutes and things, which sort of to me represented this guy's like past, but also this very like shining, bright, delicate future, which he's looking towards. And I would just play it right in my ear. If I wasn't feeling like the character on the set, I would just hold the phone up to my ear and walk off down the street for a second and remind myself.
Yeah. Yeah. He also did, I think he did the Succession theme too.
Oh, and, yes, I think that's right.
Yeah, that mood. Now I like knowing that, especially when this comes out, because I'm gonna have that in my head when I'm watching you at this
oh place. Cool.
So anyway, congratulations on this album, Where the Light Gets In. I didn't get to compliment you properly, and I really do mean it is such an excellent listen. Thanks. And so much fun. And with all the moods and stages that you've given us. And congrats on the tour, and seriously, thanks for taking the time to talk about it.
Awesome. Thanks, Kyle.
And my thanks to Ben. The debut album is called Where the Light Gets In. Also looking forward to the Institute. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. Just like this one, you can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it as well. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows features some classics and favorites from Francois Hardy, Nina Simone, Stereophonics, Alanis Morissette, Sidewinders, Hole, The Police, The Lumineers, Feist, Death Cab for Cutie, Slater Kinney, Tina Turner, Billy Idol, and my interview with Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me anywhere you get your social media. That the address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. See you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Speak to you next time.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.